Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am just so forever grateful for those who are listening to the broadcast today. I just pray that your day has been a blessed day, strategically planned by our God, Jehovah. I hope that you have just been a joyful person today and just enjoyed the blessings that he has for you. We are in for a wonderful treat today on the broadcast. And I have two special guests in the with me today that are going to take us on a beautiful journey concerning the family affair. And I just hope you come ready, hungry, and eager to not only have an ear to hear, but be prepared with your Bible and something to write with, either your tablet or your cell phone to take notes, and just be ready to receive sweet nuggets that God has specifically for you. So I thank God for you being a faithful listener to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart, and I pray that you are sharing this wonderful ministry with others in your circle of influence to be a blessing to them so that they will come hungry as well to the table of God and receive the beautiful blessings that he has for our soul and so that we can grow and go in grace. Now, I want to introduce my guest that I have today, and I tell you, it is just a joy to be in the midst of their spirit. They are husband and wife, and they have their own church here in the city, that's Houston, Texas, and I'm going to let them give you all of the specifics concerning their ministry, concerning their marriage, and just concerning each other and their love and joy for our Savior Jesus Christ. And so they are Pastor Gerald Jones, who has been on this broadcast before when he brought us a teaching lesson called The Wise Witness, and his beautiful wife, Sister Gwen Jones. So thank you for being in the with me today on the broadcast, Brother Jones and Sister Jones. So if you could just give us a warm welcome and tell us those who are listening a little bit about yourself, and we're going to just get right into the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Sister Smith. We're very excited about this opportunity to be able to share with all of those that have turned their hearts and their ears towards the broadcast this afternoon, and we are praying that what is said tonight as well as the following sessions would not only inspire them but will impact them for life. Again, my name is Gerald, and this is my wife.
I'm Gwen Jones.
And we've been married now 35 years, but we've been knowing each other for 37, so it's just right about will be 38 years now that we've been knowing each other. We met in Phoenix, Arizona, and was married after 2 years of dating and came to Houston to start our family life together. At the time, I was attending Southwestern Baptist Bible College there. My wife, a native Phoenician, and we moved to Houston after getting married in 1980.
Gerald and I met, and it was kind of different. It was not that love at first sight type of meeting. We met because his best friend married my best friend. He was the best man. I was the maid of honor. I would love to say to the ladies, don't look at the package, the outside of the package, as much as what's on the inside, the heart.
And I'm glad that we can ask God to let our hearts beat towards somebody that is looking at us and interested in us and want to see more than just the exterior. We tonight want to just kind of give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about. Of course, our theme scripture will come from the Old Testament. We normally share this with couples when we are doing premarital or postmarital counseling. The scripture is Psalms 127, verse 1. And it basically says, "Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Psalms 127, verse 1.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so we are going to be doing several sessions over these weeks to come. The first one is going to be God's purpose for marriage. And it's going to be on March the 3rd. And when we do this session, you will hear us talking about what God's idea was for marriage, what his why he even saw the need for there to be marriage, and why it was so important to him that he created it to be the first institution, even before the church was instituted. So that tells us that it was very, very important to him. And on the next session, which will be on March the 10th, we will be talking about God's plan for marriage.
We will continue the sessions, and throughout the entire month of March at 8 p.m. and on the 17th, we will be talking about God's power for marriage. As well as on the 24th, we'll be talking about God's process for marriage. And finally, we have a real passion about the last session, which will be God's plan for parenting. And, of course, we pray that you who are listening will continue to follow with us in the Word of God as we share not only the principles out of these verses that we shall share, but out of our personal experiences.
In session number 2, the plan for marriage, you're going to hear us talk about this verse that says in Genesis 2 and 24, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And we're going to be talking about the act of leaving and cleaving.
The session dealing with God's power, we're going to talk about how important it is. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the entire Ephesians chapter 5 basically tells us about God's plan and his power for marriage. And it will also show us how important it is to be not only saved but spirit-filled and being willing to submit to God. There's this passage in Ephesians that says that we are to submit one to another in the what fear of the Lord. And so it's not an inferior position, but it is a God-given position to be under him so that we can be then made closer to each other.
in session, in the fourth session, we'll talk about the process for marriage. And in this session, we're going to be talking to you about how that the process may change, but God's principles never change. And so we will go in depth at looking at God's principles for marriage. And I know that our listeners will agree that if we follow God's principles, then it's a little bit harder for us to err than following our own principles or our own process. So that's what we will be speaking about in that session. Then we will be talking about, in the last session, God's plan for parenting.
And what I'm excited about that is not that we are perfect in any way, so please know that we are growing in everything that we're going to be sharing. We're also in the process, and we're also on this journey. But we have three children, and we can honestly say that God has given them, gave them to us, and that they are saved. We want to help parents that will be listening. There's so much about parenting now that is needed to be shared. One of the things in particular,
what every parent needs, we'll be talking about that, and we will be talking about building a relationship with your child, dealing with busyness. And when you have children, it's very easy to become too busy, and sometimes that can affect the marriage as well as many other things, obstacles that we come up against. And we'll talk about being a better parent. Because even though you are a very good parent, we could all always be a better parent. We'll be sharing some of our own life experiences with our children, and we will also be telling you some things that we know that we absolutely flunked. We didn't make all of the right choices.
Right.
So we will be very transparent in these sessions.
And we are very aware that there are probably a lot of blended families that will be listening at our sessions, and we are mindful of that throughout our ministry at Family Fellowship Community Baptist Church. We have had several families to come through that were blended families. As a matter of fact, we actually, when we started the church back in 2002, I remember one blended family came in, and it was added about 12 people to our church, and it was a joy pastoring and pastoring that family in particular. But we learned a lot out of that growth period. So we're going to continue to stick with the foundation of the of marriage. One of the key scriptures in the book of Genesis and the very first chapter, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible when we're talking about family, when we're talking about marriage. It is what God's ideal about marriage. And let me just share Genesis chapter 1, verses number 26, you see in creation, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female, and created he him, male and female created he them. And I say this is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, because it establishes the way that God designed the family, the way that God intended to start creation and procreation. And the very next verse actually says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominions over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth."
You may ask the question, why marriage? And there are, we found the top reasons why people say that they get married. And believe it or not, people get married for all kinds of reasons. 91% of people said that they get married for love. 88% said companionship. 82% said to satisfy a lifelong commitment. 79% of people say that they get married for security for children. 77% said to make a public commitment to each other. 66% said for legal status or for financial security. 62% said because of religious belief. And 50% said that they to response to family pressure. And 45% said for a desire for social, for a special occasion. And that seems like a very flimsy reason to get married, but again, people get married for all kinds of reasons.
And truly, you know, we talk about how today people are getting married just for money, just so they can blend their funds together. But I say be aware that these are the type of things that threatens a relationship. It threatens marriage. It can cause problems not only in the beginning, but throughout the marriage.
In God's plan for marriage, we're going to see that his true plan was for oneness. And when we look at God's word, he's very clear about the two becoming one flesh. And when we look at God's plan, we know that in order to become one flesh, it takes more than just the two people that are joining in marriage. We definitely have to have the power of God and his spirit in the marriage to make it work. I often ask God, if you wanted a man and a woman to get together and work together so perfectly, why did you give them such different ideas about life? Men and women are totally different. And I felt like God has a sense of humor with that, because he made us totally opposite. And without his working on the man and working on the woman and working through the man and working through the woman, there's no way that we can have this oneness that the Bible speaks of.
Isn't it wonderful, though, to think about how, again, in creation, God created the man. But when we were reading that scripture, it says that he created them male and female, created he them. So in the mind of God, even before Adam even saw Eve, Eve was within Adam. What a powerful thought to just think that out of the man came the woman. I mean, that is something to think about. And when he did take the woman out of the man, afterwards, all men and women come from that one woman, Eve. And I like telling men, when Adam saw Eve, he said, "Whoa, man, what a woman." It was the first woman. He had seen everything else calf. Giraffes had a female a giraffe. Elephants had a female, and we'd go on down the line. But when he finally was put to sleep and God took from him someone that was similar to him but yet different, he said, whoa. And I can imagine he went on and said, thank you, Lord. A lot of times in our marriage sessions, when we talk about what can continue, can keep the oneness and the purpose of God in marriage, and we always tell couples, always think vertically rather than horizontally. Think vertically, vertically, God. The closer the man gets to God and the closer the woman gets to God, the closer they get to each other. But if we try to solve a lot of our issues just face-to-face or coming at each other, it's going to always be a problem. There's always going to be a conflict. There's always going to be trouble. But when we start seeking him, which is very important, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. When we start seeking him personally, then it's amazing how God will bring that oneness back, or that he originally planned.
And as Pastor was saying, when we're seeking him, the man is seeking him, the woman is seeking him, then in marriage that works perfectly, because when we pray for one another, then we see the manifestation of God's goodness and his hope, his spirit helping us, and the comforter doing exactly what it was designed to do for us in marriage. There are times when we know as a wife that we're praying for our husband, and we see the difference in the husband. Sometimes it's not that you need to tell him, but you need to tell God about him. Just as it's sometimes it's not the husband needs to tell the wife, he needs to tell God about the wife. We're so thankful for seeing God's presence in our marriage.
I want to say that there's no marriage, you know, that's perfect. And I know we may think that we have a great marriage, but I really every day know that we are in a growing state. And what's helped me throughout the years is knowing that we're going through different stages of marriage, that this is not the honeymoon stage. 35 years is definitely not the honeymoon stage, but I and Gwen both try to keep the fire going. We try to keep the romantic side going just as though we just did get married. But we've been married a while, and we know that there are
different phases in marriage. And I just want to have couples to realize that sometimes we think that our marriage is so bad because we just don't realize what stage we're in. So the one stage is the first stage is the romantic stage or the dating and honeymoon stage. And then once you're married, then those first few years can be the transition phase, the honeymoon and early marriage, when you're getting to know each other. And Pastor often gives this illustration that when two rivers have been running side by side, once they join, they meet, then there's a lot of splashing going on. And then as the splashing takes place, then as the rivers continue, then it calms down and the two rivers become one big river flowing as one. And so you can think about that transition phase as the time when there's splashing going on. Don't lose heart during that time. Don't give up during that time. Don't become discouraged during that time. You're at a normal place that you should be in marriage. And then the next phase is the reality phase. That's when the children are coming, and that's when the bills are due, and it's finally settled in. Wow, we're really married. The next phase is the retaliation phase and the rejection phase. And all of these phases take place, but we also want to remind you again that we always are keeping the phase of having fun in marriage. Don't forget to have fun. You got together to begin with because you were having fun with each other. I don't think I've ever known anyone that said that they married somebody because they were boring and they were not having fun and that they did not like being around them. I think we all can remember those days of dating. I know Pastor and I did this. He was in college all the way on the other side of town from my parents' home. And when he dropped me off, we still, as soon as he got to his dorm room, he would call me and we would stay on the phone until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We'd fall asleep on the phone, and then we would start to talk, to wake up and say bye and hang up finally. So that's the stage that you want to keep alive in your marriage, the communication.
Communication is so key. I mean, we could spend many sessions just talking about communication because it is inevitable that we're going to have conflict. We're going to have arguments. We're going to have fights. And let's face it, because we are sinners saved by grace, we are human beings, we are prone to want to compete, we are selfish sometimes, maybe some may say more times than others, we want our way, you know, and you need to know during the reality stage that that is not the time to separate, but it's really the time to get closer together. Being on one page when it comes to relatives, when it comes to children, you know, when it comes to how much time you spend by yourself or how much time you spend together. You know, you have to really talk about these things. It's a scripture that kept us throughout these years and even today is the one, again, in Ephesians where it talks about don't go to bed with your wrath. The scripture says,
Don't let the sun set on your wrath.
Oh, yeah.
And when Pastor is talking about fighting, hopefully we're not talking about physical fighting. We're talking about just disagreement. We have rules that say we don't hit, we don't hate, we don't harm. So, and you realize that your mate is not your enemy.
Thank you.
We do have an enemy, but it is not our mayor.
We might as well tell you, he doesn't like what we're doing right now. And because he knows his end. He knows that, I'm talking about the devil. He knows that his end is the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. He is a defeated foe. We need not to play it down. He does not want you to stay together forever. But and that the affair that you are having is with your wife rather than somebody. He don't like the fact that you want to be together.
If you continue to date and if you continue to have fun with your mate, it can help to affair-proof your marriage. This thing of Valentine's Day, sometimes people go all out for that one day. But love is something that should be shown every day. I mean, it's always a time to surprise your spouse, not just the men surprising the ladies with all of the gifts and nice things, But ladies, we can surprise our husbands with a lot of nice gifts and things for them as well. Everybody likes to be shown love, and everyone wants to be appreciated. And we don't want to be guilty of giving more of ourselves to the office than we're willing to give to our own mate.
Right. I 100% believe that we need to prioritize. I again think that when we put God first and then our mate second, and when we also when we put God first, we put our mate second, and then our career or our job comes later, or whatever else can take another seat, is when God really can bless us. Stay, don't give up. Somebody may be listening to this blog tonight, and you are on the verge of throwing in the towel. You might be at the point where you're ready to say, this is it. You're on this blog, you're on this radio program tonight for us just to let you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We really need to not let trouble us so much that it drives us apart, but it ought to drive us to our knees and closer together.
And, you know, I just wanted to add to what Pastor is saying. Sometimes we think that our marriage is beyond being fixed. We think that the relationship cannot ever be the same as it was in the beginning. But I'm here to tell you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can have a better marriage than you ever dreamed possible. Don't be weary in well-doing. And as Pastor is saying, don't give up. And don't feel like that you're the only one that's going through what you're going through. I mean, if you took a poll, you would find out that people go through the same things, similar things, all the time. So when it comes to marriage, I want to encourage you all and to encourage everyone. Don't ever go in with the idea that you have an exit.
Mm-hmm. The D word, the divorce word, take it out. Just, you know, don't even mention it. Don't talk about it. That's again, one of those things that you have to realize that you're in to the end.
And, you know, our words have power. So when you tell yourself, I will never divorce my husband, I will never divorce my spouse, then those words take root in our hearts. And then we find a way to make it happen because we already have told ourselves that divorce is not an option.
And you have you there as we continue to grow together, we need to learn to face our fears. Some things we are afraid of, and you're going to be afraid of some things in marriage, but you have to learn to face your fears with the power of the Holy Spirit.
The thing that we're going to be talking to you about when it comes to parenting also is that many times we found with blended families and even with families that are raising just the children born to that couple, that a lot of tension can be caused by the children and the rearing of the children and the making sure that the children are cared for. And so, again, we need to have oneness when it comes to those things that concern our children. Please don't discuss the children in front of them, but as parents, if we can get on the same page and say, look, this is what we're going to do about this situation, and this is how we're going to handle that situation. And this is our plan for how we're going to deal with the children about this. And this is the house rule, not daddy's rule, not mommy's rule. Please don't make the other one look like the bad guy. But most of all, we're going to say that God rules in this house, yeah. And we're going to go by God's rules.
And have scriptures that leads the family. Have family scriptures, have scriptures, personal scriptures that that you can life scriptures that can hold you in times of trouble and temptation. One of my life scriptures is, there is therefore now no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So we want to encourage you guys and brothers and sisters to listen for the next 5 or 6 weeks that we're going to be dealing with building your marriage, dealing with family affairs, the issues that you face in family and in marriage, and keep in mind that God wants to get the glory out of your marriage. The scripture in Hebrews says that marriage, God honors marriage.
It says that marriage is honorable in all, and thank God for that. But, you know, sometimes when we're having our couples ministry, we run across people that say, you know, we can just continue to live together. What's the big deal about having the piece of paper? And I just want to say a few things about marriage. Marriage is far more important than you may have thought. Marriage reflects God's image on planet Earth. Marriage is designed for a husband and a wife to live mutually, complete and to complete each other.
Marriage is designed to multiply a godly legacy. And boy, in this day and time, we need some people that have decided they're going to stick out it for all the way to the end and leave children that will say, we want to leave a godly legacy, which then my grandchildren would want to leave a godly legacy, and on and on and on, generations after generation of godly people.
Amen. Recognize that your marriage is taking place on a spiritual battlefield and not a romantic balcony.
Yeah. It is a war. It is a war, and the battle has to be fought. But prayer, well, first of all, reading God's word, prayer, and I'm going to say this now because I want you to understand, we are a church. We have a church, and every family needs a church home. And I really believe that in this last day, in these last days, we are seeing falling away from the scriptures, falling away from prayer, falling away from the church. You need a church home. We shop for this home that we live in. We've been here for going on 26 years. We shop for a job. We look for a job. We go on interviews. We want to make sure we get good employment. We shop for schools for children to go to. We do all of that. But it isn't amazing that it doesn't take us long to find a school, a home, a job, and all of those things. But it seems like now we're getting into this thing where we are taking so long to find a church home, my Lord.
The church home is one of the most valuable things that you will have in your marriage and for your family. It'll give you a foundation because the Bible is very clear when it tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And also, it says that we need the preacher just to hear. So, you know, I can read God's word all day, but when my pastor is in the pulpit and he is preaching God's word, then I get a better understanding of what God is saying to me. And in marriage, it works very well when both the husband and the wife and the children all hear God's word together. When we worship God together, it is a unifying effect that will bring our marriage farther than anything that we could ever do.
I'm so glad she said that because I can never replace my church home, my pastor, the people that were part of my church when Gwen and I first got married. It kept us, and even today, it's an encouragement to us.
Amen. We often talk about it takes a village to raise a child. I'm not so sure it takes a village, but I know it does take a church.
Yeah, it takes a family.
Had it not been for so many of the church members and mothers and deacons and everyone rallying around my children, I'm not so sure they would have turned out to be the great kids that they are today or the adults that are also raising their own families now.
I was told one time by a friend of mine, well, actually one of my cousins, and when it comes, just to talk about parenting again, when it comes to your children, there comes a point where you realize you're no longer raising your children. You are now watching adults raise their children. So parenting teenagers and adolescents and young children is totally different than parenting or being around and to encourage adult parents. We are now in a stage where we're watching our children parent their children. And we realize that what they need is what we needed back then was encouragement from our family and from our church and from those that had like values and commitments that we had.
Today, we see the family is drifting away from like it was a long time ago where the whole, you knew your neighbors and everybody in the neighborhood knew your family. So it's a little bit harder for us all to get together. And we have different values in every home on the street. Everybody's values are not yours. So sometimes when it comes to that, it has changed. But again, I do believe in God's house, you find a multitude of safety around the saints of God that will rally around your marriage. And I want to encourage younger couples, find that older couple in your church that loves God and that loves each other and hang out with them sometimes. They will help you and tell you about how to get through many of the obstacle courses in marriage because they have already been where you are.
And, you know, you will learn that what works for them may or may not work for you. But whatever works for you, you need to use what works for you continuously.
Yes, and please, you know, just lend your ear to them and spend time with them, and you will come out with some nuggets that are just invaluable.
Staying connected. I guess that's what we really want to encourage. You guys stay connected to someone that can pray with you. I often told my wife, I don't really share much with people that I cannot pray with. I mean, I don't, by that I mean, if I'm going to be transparent and talking to somebody about some personal issues, either about me personally or about me and my wife, I'm not going to talk to them if I cannot pray with them, or I'm not going to let them talk to me unless they're going to let me pray with them.
In other words, don't spend all of your time talking to your girlfriend or your guy friend about your mate. Spend time talking to God, and spend time talking to a godly person that will pray for you.
Remember, he's always working. I'm talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God is always working on both ends at the same time. And it's amazing to me that whenever I'm going through something, I've noticed that Gwen will be praying for me, and when she's going through something, I'm praying for her. And sometimes we haven't even talked about it, but it's amazing that we find that we're on the same page about it because we are praying for each other, praying with each other.
That goes back to what Pastor was saying about staying connected. When you stay connected to each other through prayer and through communication, and spending time with each other, look, I just want to admonish you, don't fill up your schedule with so much time for everything and everyone else. We all have busy lives, but I love to see couples carve time out to have a date night. Pastor and I have date nights, and Friday night is the date night. I look forward to Friday night because I know it's going to be a fun time.
And sometimes it's just walking the park together. Sometimes it's a theater play that maybe she's not all that crazy about, but she's willing to go with me.
Sometimes it's a mushy chick flick that he really is not excited about, but he takes the time to go with me.
We have about 2 or 3 other couples that we share with these principles on a regular basis. And we ask them to be willing to share what we share with them with other couples who are trying to find meaning to their marriage. Sister Smith, we're looking for you to maybe help us with maybe some questions that you would like for us to address as we go forward.
Sure. Okay. All of the principles that you and Sister Jones have showered us with, I couldn't write fast enough in order to make notes. And I just pray that others that are listening via the web, internet or on your phone, I just pray and hope that you are taking down these rich notes and nuggets, because it will be a blessing to your relationship that you may be kickstarting with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and it leads to a blossoming relationship called marriage, and that is the union. But, you know, Sister Jones, you hit the nail on the head when you said to not spend so much time doing other things, but creating time or scheduling or carving out time with your spouse. And I just concur with you in that, just looking and reflecting on my own marriage, you know, when you get older, it just seems to be more of a challenge to do that, I guess, because maybe we've just gravitated into our own thing to do whether it be sitting on the couch, and I guess I'll call those routine things. But I've heard some other ministries, Family Life Today, and as well as yourself, and just trying to get my spouse to see how beneficial it would be for us to spend that one-on-one time together, such as a date night.
Yes, ma'am. And ladies, sometimes men might be a little bit shy with this at first, but I'm going to challenge you to be the one to initiate it. Plan a whole date. When you guys were dating, it was easy for you to plan a date. You always knew where you were going, and you always knew you were going to spend the weekend together or every moment that you could. So don't change that now. Keep the fire burning. So you plan where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and surprise him. Tell him, honey, I need you to clear your schedule because on Saturday we're going to be busy all evening. Now, look, don't let the children stop you because Nana and Pawpaw always want to spend time with their grandbabies. And if not Nana and Pawpaw, you have an aunt or an uncle, or you have a very dear friend that you don't mind asking them to take care of the children for an evening. If the marriage stays intact, then the family can stay intact. So it's very, very critical that you put the life vest on your own marriage first, and then you can keep the whole family supplied with oxygen. You know, on the plane, they tell you to put the mask on yourself first and then on your child if you have a baby. So I'm asking you to do the same thing with your marriage. Supply it with all of the nutrients and all of the oxygen and all everything that it needs so that you have a solid foundation for your children and your family.
Pastor Jones, I have a question for you. Now, what would you advise the fellows out there from a man's view?
Be flexible. Be very willing to flex. Don't be so stern as to say, you know, I have to do this. And, you know, be willing to be creative. You know, I had a friend of mine to tell me about some things that he and his wife does, just them. I mean, you know, just simple things, playing checkers, playing dominoes, you know, painting, taking a art class. Don't be so rigid and say, I'm not going to do that. You might want to do something different on the outside of the home that will make a lot of honeymoon start taking place in the home. That's
Amen.
What I would
say.
Amen to that. Well, I tell you, it makes a lot of sense to me, and I agree with both sides of the both views, from the male as well as from the female. And I just pray and hope that those who are listening, I just really hope that you implement these and exercise this. Now, just as Pastor Jones and Sister Jones said, it will be a challenge, but the challenge is worth it. It is worth it because you want to bring glory to God in your relationship. And for those who are married, quite naturally, in your marriage relationship. But it is so worth it to honor God in your love for others, mostly for Him, and then others. And it's just the glue. Do you agree, Sister Jones and Pastor Jones? It's the glue. Love is the glue to our
yes.
harmonious relationship.
Yes, it is. You know, the Bible tells us that God is love. So, yes, love is definitely the glue.
And just speaking of the glue, we have a little icebreaker that we use where we put some glue between two sheets of paper, both having different colors. And when the glue is put in between the red and the blue sheet of paper and you let it set for a second, and then we try to tear them apart. And one of the things we find out when you start tearing the two sheets of paper, some of the color from one is clinging to the other. So
that's our encouragement for the couples to cling to one another. Even when life is trying to tear you apart, make sure that you have a little bit of your husband on you and he has a little bit of you on him. And by that I mean that we have merged our lives so much that we are inseparable.
Right. I want to say something because I know that we have some single people that might be listening, because, again, we are talking about the family affair, and we realize that some families have been there's been separation, there may have been a death, there may have been something happened that caused a division, and we want to be sensitive to single people that are raising families and hoping that perhaps that they may be remarried.
We want to encourage you that God is able to supply every need, and there's not a need that we can have that he won't supply. So we are going to be praying to the end that God would meet that need. You know, if you desire a husband or if you desire a wife and you're that single person, and for whatever reason you have the singleness, as Pastor has just said, then we can rely on God's love for us and for his compassion for our situation, and he will answer our prayer. So I'm telling you today, he is the one to ask.
I often tell single people, if you're looking for the right person, trust God to let you be the right person. Don't give up. And but I can honestly tell you this. There came a point before I met Gwen, I had to realize that I was saved, I was spirit-filled, and I had to be satisfied in the state that I was in. And just when I got to that place of saying, you know what, I'm through with trying to find this woman, that's when God allowed me to meet the woman of my life.
And I can agree with my husband on that. I was in the same place, but I was a young Christian. But I was believing that God was my satisfaction and that God was my encourager and that God was going to supply what I needed. And I made up my mind that I was going to be saved, sanctified, and single and set aside for God's use. And I began to work for him and forgot about trying to find or be in a place where I wanted a husband. And that's when I met my husband.
Our time is just about up. And we may just talk a little bit about Boaz and Ruth, but we're going to close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be able to talk to these people, hopefully hundreds of not thousands that will hear this broadcast. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be, first of all, acceptable to you, and the things that we've said would encourage and encourage and impact those that are hearing. Thank you for this program, and we pray, God, that if there's someone that do not know you as their Savior, that they would, first of all, come into agreement that they need you, that they want you to take full control of their life. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none of us righteous, no, not one. But we thank you that we have a Savior who died, who was buried, who rose again. And yes, you're coming back. Help us to be ready for your second coming. Nevertheless, not our will, but Lord, let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you again to my brothers and sisters in Christ, Sister Jones and Brother Jones. I am so forever grateful, and I'm super excited and anxious to just be ready on next Thursday, just hungry for these beautiful points that you have given us, and just for us to be ready, willing and able to receive. Now, I encourage you who are listening today that you would come back on Thursday and not only just receive for yourself, but share this good food, this good manna that God is blessing you with through our brother and sister in Christ, Pastor Jones and Sister Jones. So please do yourself a service, but be a blessing to others. And share this ministry, but also share the word that you receive today through these instruments that God has placed on this broadcast. And, of course, that's Pastor Jones and Sister Jones. So I thank you for being faithful. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth, but the word of God remains forever and ever. So God bless, and thank you for your faithfulness, and enjoy your week. See you next Thursday, and don't forget to share.